Hello, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of the Inner Fight Podcast. My name's Mark Smith. I'm your host, and I thank you for being here with me on today's show. And if you've listened to 5 Minute Mondays earlier in the week, I also appreciate that. If you enjoy the show, please take a moment to share it. Share it with a friend. Share it with a colleague. Share it with anyone that you think will get a little bit of value from it. And if you have a little bit more time, then rate and review it on a platform. That would be awesome. It'd help us get to more people so that more people can hopefully get a little bit better at life. My guest today is here to talk about a topic and a drug which is getting increasing usage and an increasing amount of media attention, both positive, I guess you could say, but most of it's quite negative, which is probably the right thing. Not sure positive and negative media attention around such a subject is a good or bad thing. However, it's a lot more in our faces. The company that is one of the biggest companies behind this drug has recently been valued at $500 billion, making it one of Europe's, or maybe even Europe's, most valuable drug company. Some people are using this drug as a last stop in their fight or their journey against weight loss. Others are using it as an experiment. Others are using it just because their friends or social media have told them to. Nobody really knows what the long-term effects are. Some people, and the people that have taken it, know what the short-term effects are. And we hear more about those on today's show. But with just a sample size of 1,900 people to actually get this product onto the market, and it being quite a new product, nobody actually knows what the long-term effects of the product are. Would you put something in your body, a chemical, inject it, that you didn't really know about? We've done that before. And what happened? This week's show announcements. First up, a huge Eid Mubarak to all of those celebrating Eid at this time. Friends, members, and or others, I hope you're having a fantastic time with your friends and family. And congratulations to those of you that completed Ramadan. And those of you that don't or haven't, why not give it a shot one time? There's all sorts of proven reasons why we should fast. And as we know, the month of Ramadan is quite a special time. Fasting all the day through, daylight hours from just before it gets light to when it gets dark. That's the daylight hours. No food, no water. Quite a great test. Congratulations to those that completed Ramadan, and a big Eid Mubarak from us to you guys. In other news and announcements from Monday the 15th here at the gym, it is back to normal service, I think is the best way we could describe it. This week, we have been having a slightly reduced class schedule. However, from Monday, everything is back on. Morning classes, 5:30, 6:30, 7:30, 8:30, and 9:30. In the afternoon, we go back to 5, 6, and specialty classes at 7 p.m. The youth and teens program is also back on from Monday afternoons, 4:30, 5:30, and 6:30, Monday to Thursday, and also Sunday mornings. Ladies Run Club is back. Yes, we're back from Milan. I don't think we lost anyone over there. That is back on. Endurance continues as normal. Endurance guys actually didn't have much of a rest during the holidays. That was, yeah, they like to keep going. There was a coffee ride on Wednesdays opposed to the normal sort of brutal ride that is Walker Wednesday. So they maybe took it a little bit easy. Coming up, so normal schedules are all back on, classes, everything. Schools will be back as well, which means there might be a little bit more traffic. I don't really know if I should turn into the sort of traffic man or the weatherman. However, if you are coming to the gym for a class, then please just be a little bit aware that it might take you a little bit longer than it did during Ramadan. I don't want you to arrive here or leave here stressed, so I should let you know about these things. The following weekend, the weekend of the 20th, it is the CrossFit quarterfinals. We have a few people that made it through the first stage of the Open to the next stage, to the quarterfinals. Stay tuned for announcements around that as people will be doing the workouts here at the gym. They're great to watch. Those guys would definitely appreciate your support. So that's next weekend, not this weekend, weekend of the 20th. That's it for this week's show announcements. Let's get into the show, shall we? This is episode number 894 of the Inner Fight Podcast. James Hamilton. No matter where you are in the world, thanks a lot for tuning in. Let's jump into today's show. Here he is then, a man I've wanted to chat to for a long time, mainly about his dress code.
Mm-hmm.
The founder, director, and the head salesman, and also the highest performing salesman of Captain Shirts.
Sure.
Hamo, how are we?
Fantastic. So are we going to talk about long distance running or what's...
Well, mate, you're a man of so many things. It probably surprised people what we're actually going to talk about. But we should spend some time on the shirts to start with, mate. How's the shirt business going?
Oh, it's going great. It's going good. Yeah, we're it's a journey, like all businesses are, yeah. As we know. And, you know, we started off going large and Hawaiian and stuff. And we've sort of got a little bit more subtle now. So we're
a little bit more subtle. Is that what you're wearing?
More subtle. Yeah. Well, this is just one of the numbers, but no, it's good. We're down at Wright Market every Saturday and Sunday.
Are you still? That's hustle. I like
yeah,
it.
Yeah, we've got a good team down there, and Wright Market's amazing.
Is
fantastic
it?
Team. Fantastic.
Dubai Police Academy.
Yep,
still?
Dubai Police yeah. Academy. They've doubled the size of the place. It's now got parks and food areas and all kinds of things. So. It's a great day if anybody looking for something to do on their weekend, Saturday and Sunday, starting at 9.
Another couple of months as well, good
yeah,
weather.
Yeah, about a month there, yeah. And also we've got a store in Times Square now.
I saw that, congratulations.
Yeah, so it's good to have a bit of area where where we can go, rather than people going, oh, I'll see you at Wright Market in the weekend, we can say, just come down to the
come
store.
Down.
So no, it's good. It's a lot of fun. I'm learning a lot, and it's a long way from Invercargill. Invercargill, New Zealand. For
New Zealand,
don't know
folks.
Where that is.
That's where you originate from. And a little bit of background, mate. Obviously, the shirts is more a side hustle. You
Absolutely.
Actually, your day job is quite a lot more responsible,
yeah.
I would say.
Yeah, no. So about 9 months ago, I started with Airways New Zealand, which is a air traffic control training company based in, well, it's based in New Zealand. It's one of the largest areas in the world for air traffic control. So we're very good at that wow. aspect of that. And so about 30 years ago, they decided to start commercializing that out through the selling of simulators, through training of air traffic controllers, and all types of training related to that. So they've had a person in the Middle East and Africa for the last 10, 15 years. And
yeah.
He's gone home, and I'm luckily enough to replace it, and it's a fantastic job, and I love it.
Always love going on the app. Anyone who doesn't have it, you have to get it, Flight Radar, and just looking
yeah.
at how many aeroplanes are in yeah. the air at one time.
Yeah, and it's learning from going from this aspect, because before that I was with Etihad for a long period of time.
Yeah.
So it just sort of happened. You didn't really sort of, but now getting the understanding of what's involved, all the people that are involved, the turnover, you know, from country to country, and also only 2% of the world can be an air traffic controller.
Why is that?
It's a totally different person.
Mm.
And there's tests that we do to be one. I'm certainly not in that list.
Mm.
But yeah, it's a special kind of person that does it.
Uber high stress.
Yeah. I mean, they obviously manage it well in that it's very short periods of time, lots of breaks, making sure that they're 100% committed to the job.
That's in countries that abide by rules. You don't have to answer
well,
that question.
Well, I couldn't comment on that no. because I look after the Middle East and Africa. And
no all one of them, looks after the rules.
All of them are doing very, very well, I will say that.
But yeah, I mean, mate, it must be all jokes aside. I've got a few friends who work in air traffic control and some of the stuff. And you can see the stress
yeah.
coming off them. It's a hectic industry, yeah?
It's certainly not my ideal job.
Yeah.
I mean, it is a special type of person. And you look at them and the way they've done and the way they've come through. It's Yeah, I'll put it down as simple as that. It's a special person that can be able to do that.
Well, we're not here to right the wrongs of air traffic control or speak about how safe air travel actually is due to good air traffic controllers. Mate, you're someone who openly, let's say, has, or you're open to experimenting with various different health interventions. Should we put you under that?
Yeah, I'm pleased you put that last part in. Yeah, that's very true. Very true. Life's an adventure.
Yeah.
And I was thinking about that as I was driving over, you know, when this sort of all started. And I moved over here, well, I moved to the Middle East 25 years ago, and I started off in Saudi.
Yeah.
And I think the first time we did try something like that, it was a group of DHL guys in the villa, and there was at that time. Have you heard of the cabbage soup diet?
I haven't, but I'd love to.
All right, okay. So what that was pretty much what the name says on the label. It was a cabbage soup that you would make up, and that's all you ate for a week.
Okay.
And so we all tried it as a bit of an experiment, and there was a lot of strange and awful smells coming out of the villa that week. But it sort of just, it was interesting the way it sort of worked and how the body sort of worked. But, that would have been the starting point for that, to do that.
Did you feel better after? I'm piecing this together. I mean, cabbage, we know, is great. Fermented, gut health, gut microbiome. That's where I'm thinking the theoretical side of actually producing those smells and gases for a week would come from. How did you feel after a week of cabbage?
Well, it was, if you look at the diet, and I'm thinking back, as each day there was slightly different. So I think you could have as much cabbage soup as you want, but then during the periods of day, I think there was one day you could have a little bit of steak,
right?
Some potato. It was the start of all these type of things. But then at the end, on the last day, you were able to have a banana. And I remember thinking that was something that your body was obviously missing completely.
Yeah.
So that was the start of it, of just trying to do it.
So you went from – there could be a timeline here, mate. Can you remember where you went to from cabbage soup diet?
Well, after that, I think probably the next part was that a few years later, we all used to start the New Year fad.
Right.
And that was when you would and it was always a competition, because love a good competition.
Yeah.
And so we'd have this competition where you had to put 1,000 dirhams in.
Okay.
But you had to lose a proportion percentage of your body weight. And we did it over 3 months. I think it might have been 10%, 8%, 10% or anyway. And anyway, if you didn't get it, it went into the kitty.
Right.
There it is. And we used to get 20 or 30 people involved in it. And it was just... there was no methodology. It was just hard yards. No one wanted to lose 1,000 dirhams.
Surprise.
And surprise, surprise. And that was for the first 3 months. So that sort of died off a little bit. But that was sort of another bit of fun thing we used to do.
Was that the same group that Coops and I think Bouch might have been in that group as well? And yeah, I remember you messaging me about them.
Yeah, it's still going. It's a small group now. But the different part about it now is we've got some good experts on there. I mean, you've helped us out.
Yeah.
David Labouchet helps us out from time to time. And it's more about doing it properly rather than I've certainly changed my mind. I know it's all about consistency. Mm. I know it's all about getting a good life plan pattern in place. So that is the answer, but it's still not going to stop me from trying things.
So you've always been interested in losing weight or trying different diets. Is that, have you always been overweight or have you always struggled with weight or where's it come about from, mate?
Yeah, no, I think it's probably just a lifetime of, I'm probably, I would say, atypical ex-rugby player, loves a beer, trained hard when you're younger. It's got harder as you've got older, and we're not young anymore.
Mm.
And I think it probably is that for me anyway, is that you've really got to look after yourself as you get older. And it's probably as simple as that. It's just been, it was so much easier when you're 20 or 30, when you had rugby coming up, okay, 2 months to go to rugby, right, get the shoes on, let's do some runs, and you could probably drop a few kilos pretty easily.
Mm.
Those days are over. And there's no easy way, I understand that.
Yeah.
But the world wants an easy way. The world wants a magic pill.
Yeah.
And you know, maybe that day is coming.
Maybe it is, mate.
And maybe that's, not.
That's one of the things that you have experimented with, which is the latest magic pill, Ozempic.
Yeah.
How did Ozempic come onto your radar?
Well, I've got a friend who is a big guy. He's a very big guy. And he told me about it, and he would have been probably touching 200 kilos.
Oh,
and so it was more of a it was a medical thing for him.
Right.
Rather than anything. And the way Ozempic works is that it's different milligrams of power.
Mm.
You start off on a small base, and then it grows up to full whack. Now, and obviously different ways of different doing it. Now, he was using it, and he dropped 50 kilos.
In what sort of time frame?
Probably about 6 months.
Right.
So
still solid.
Yeah. And I thought, just, you know, sounds interesting.
Yeah.
I could give this a try. And then it was starting to sort of come up on social media and things and different parts like that. So the number one thing was trying to find it. So that was my first concern. So I went to about 10 different pharmacies.
Here in Dubai.
No, we're out. None. No, we're out.
They knew what it was, but they'd sold out.
Sold out.
Right.
Go on. And then and I left my number at these places. You know, if anything comes in, you just, you know. And then I got a phone call from this pharmacy in town, and went down there, and sure enough, they had it. They had this Ozempic. And for people that don't know, Ozempic is a drug for diabetics. And also that is another reason why I will say I'm not on it now, because it is for diabetics. And there is a point where you've got to think that it's there for a use, not for big people trying to get small. So they said we got it, and we can give it to you. And how you get it is it's an injection. It's a weekly injection. Mm. So 4 injections for 1 month, and then you give it a go. So I found the place, and you got to keep it in the fridge. I didn't really want to carry it around with me, so I used to just keep it at the pharmacy, and I'd go back there every week and go around the back and get a quick injection. So, you know. And no one seemed to worry too much. But anyway, so how it works is you just turn off eating.
You just, and
it's actually, it's more than that. Now, the first day afterwards, you do actually feel sick.
Right.
And I'll put it down to, because I used to get quite bad car sickness when I was a young fella. So that's exactly what it's like. So you have this sort of car sickness, so you don't feel like eating. And you may even look at food, and you just sort of turned off it by that then.
Within a day.
And the first day is the worst day, because you just feel really sick. The second day, and then it gets slightly less and less and less and less until the seventh day, and then you're back in, another injection, and you start again. Now, I'm on the small whack. So that's what I'm getting. From what I've heard, if you're on the full speed, you'll probably be throwing up on the first day. It's that bad.
I mean, that's what they put some of the side effects.
Yeah.
One of the biggest ones that I was able to learn about,
because
it's interesting as well, and we may be talking about it later, but not too many people want to actually talk about it. So you sort of left to reading things, but nausea, bloating, diarrhea, fatigue.
Yeah, and there was a couple of other side effects. I remember having a couple of glasses of wine one night, went to bed, and then woke up an hour later and I was sick.
Right.
And that was strange. It was very strange. So I'm starting to think, hold on, there's a bit more to this than that. Now, it does do, as the prescription says you will lose weight.
Mm.
I tried it for three or four months, just to just to make sure where it was, and it's obvious that people are using it to lose weight, and it will work like that. But the side effects are that you just feel sick all the time. Now, I love food, like everybody does, and you want to eat good food, but you just don't want to get that feeling sickness. But and then the other point, which I think is important to know, is like any medication, the moment you go off it, the weight goes back on again. Now, my big friend who I was telling you about, he wasn't able to get hold of his stuff due to, and that's the other thing. It's, you know, it's big pharma have got everybody over a barrel as well, because it's insurance is covering some people for medication for that. Now, when they stop, it's a chunk of change. I wasn't on that one, but if you're on a full whack one, you could be paying 1,500 dirhams to 2,000 dirhams a month on this. Now, that's a lot of money, obviously.
And I mean, it is, mate, but there's one argument, right?
Yeah.
And this is where people might think it's a little bit counterintuitive, and it'll be very apparent by the end of the show how against it I am, but 2,000 dirhams is cheaper than going to a gym and having a personal trainer and having a meal plan and having all of that advice as well. So, well, is it a lot of money?
Well, it's funny. Since I'm obviously been following it, I've been reading about it too. And gyms in the US are seeing numbers going down.
Yeah,
because people are saying, I don't need to go to the gym anymore.
Well, there's 40 million people in the world using it.
But and then on the other hand, gyms are going, come in and we'll supply you Ozempic here. So, I mean,
it's mental.
It is mental. I mean, why go from there? So to summarize from my experiment, yes, it works.
Just before you do, mate.
Before I summarize.
Do you look at it as you did it as an experiment?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So you knew what you were getting into. Because I think this is important for people that are listening.
Yeah.
You knew what you were getting into.
Yeah.
You knew that actually it's a medicine that's been developed to help type 2 diabetics.
Yeah.
It wasn't initially developed as a dietary supplement. You knew all of this.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
Continue.
Yeah. No, I certainly was never going to be a long-term thing. If I was able to drop a few kilos from it, okay, all the better.
Yeah.
But let's just see it as an experiment for what it was. And you can see it with, I will say celebrities, because they're the ones that are being thing, huge weight drops from it. And there's even a look about some of the people that have had these big weight drops from where it is. It's just, yeah, I'm
look
certainly
like shit.
Yeah, it's they lose that sort of healthy glow, face very gaunt, their share prices, but also there's other brands that are coming on the market.
There
as well.
Are.
There's Ozempic. There's other ones that are doing it, because people can realize how big this is going to be. But then it goes back to what our initial conversation was that magic pill, and you know, we can talk about how bad it is, which I think we're both in agreement that it's not good for us. But it'll sell, because if someone can say you can lose X amount in a short amount of time.
It's selling, mate. It sold $25 billion in 2023, which is a 58% increase on what they'd sold in 2022, which is mental. And I mean, the company, the Danish company, which own the brand Ozempic, there's other brands that do the same.
Yeah.
But the Danish company, Novo Nordisk or something, they're valued at $500 billion, which is the biggest company in mainland Europe.
And I think the other point is no one really knows the long term effects of it.
Well, they can't, mate, because it's not been around. It's almost like no one knew the long term effects of the COVID-19 vaccination.
Yeah.
No one does, or do they? I don't know.
Well, that was another thing I got on early too, because I was at that time I was working in Abu Dhabi, and if you would take the Chinese COVID. You got a lane on the, you didn't have to stop at the thing. And that was a huge saving for me. But so I was one of the first to get that.
Yeah.
And I even got some Caraval vouchers at the time, which I thought, is a bit of a concern, that they're giving Caraval vouchers to get you to take the injection.
To take it. Yeah, I mean, the study that Novo Nordisk did was on, like, less than 2,000 people. So they did a study, as all big pharma does. They'll do a study to prove that their drugs work, and they did it on 2,000 people, of which, I can't remember, 50-50 have actually the drug, and the other one, it's a placebo. And the guys that took it saw about a 15% drop in body weight, which is important as well, because it's also starving your muscles. And that's what, you know, a lot of time with fast weight loss, what we actually see is people that are big blobs just become smaller blobs.
Yeah.
And they don't have muscle, they have a lot of loose skin. They lose fat, but they lose fat and they lose muscle. Interestingly, on the study, there was something at about 3% fat loss for the people that didn't even take it.
Which
happens. Yeah. Placebo is placebo. But,
there's no, everybody wants the quick results. But if I can compare it to my friend again, he had type 2 diabetes. That dropped away. High blood pressure, that did drop away. But I'm sure that was just due to that volume of weight that's left his body so quickly. 100%. The problem is keeping it off.
Yeah.
And when he was able to say, I had to stop taking it, the weight was starting to go on straight away. I think he put 5-10 kilos on.
How's he doing now?
I think he's probably struggling because he wants to get back on it again. And, you know, it's... Where's the exit plan on these things?
I mean, that's the biggest thing, mate. For you, it's a little bit of fun.
Yeah.
You're mature enough, you're educated enough to understand the side effects. Yeah. Maybe you did want to lose. Did you lose weight?
Yeah, no, I lost 8 kilos.
Right. And how much have you put back on?
Well, I'll probably put it back on again.
How long did it take to lose it compared to how much it took to put it
probably
back
about
on?
The same. So right. that would have been over 3 or 4 months, and then it would have So it just comes back on again. So they've got everybody good, because everybody will just continue taking that.
I mean, that's the thing, isn't it? It's cocaine.
Yeah.
It's the same.
No, I know.
It's tricky, because the only way to keep the weight off is probably to keep taking it.
Exactly. And, you know, watch this space. You know, all these Instagram junkies, they're seeing people losing it. You know, that they, you know, somebody will say, well, maybe the best thing for you to do is to get yourself on a solid plan, eating plan, look to lose a small amount every week, do this, do that. No one wants to do that now.
No one wants to do that.
No.
And not when, I mean, Elon Musk's taken it.
Yeah.
Oprah's taken it, and they've spoken openly about it.
Mm.
So people who are almost like icons of society, or, you know, when Elon Musk is speaking, people listen because they think he can see into the future, and sometimes he's proved that he actually can.
Mm.
He's taking it.
Yeah.
So then what is...
I think there's far more than what you're thinking, especially when I was able to, when I did the initial search, and that was last year. Already then it was sold out everywhere.
Yeah.
So I would hate to think what it's like now. It's probably 10 times as worse.
Would you go back on it?
No. No.
Why not?
I really just love the taste of food. Good food. And, you know, as we were talking before we came on about how I've now got into fasting and enjoyed fasting period, it's just your senses are so, when you've actually broken away from it for a while and then you have some good food afterwards, it tastes so good. It feels very chemically sort of, not enhanced, but just affected by any food you have. And it's just not the same. It's just a very, you just Because it's not wanting you to eat. It's obviously what the whatever in your
so
brain
how does
is
that
doing.
Feel, mate? Because that's one of the side effects. Mm. It's basically blocking you, your part of your brain from being hungry. But someone like you who you appreciate food, you like what you've said, good food. Mm. So when a thought comes into your mind of, you know, on the weekend I normally go to this place and I have whatever I have, what's the next step of that thought? Like, how does that thought play out?
Well, it's very unnatural because you're just not hungry. Probably one thing that may be good is that it did stop your snacking,
right?
Which is I think is probably one of my worst things. But yeah, I just didn't like it. It just felt uncomfortable. And
what would you think of the meal? Or are you just not thinking of it because
you're not hungry. And you've sort of got a little bit of a pang in your stomach of actually I don't feel quite right. And you know what it's like when you've got the flu or something like that.
You don't feel like eating.
You don't eat. So I think it's if I, you know, putting it down as simple as that, that's what it is.
So the feeling of, you explain the feeling of nausea, you take the injection, it's high for a couple of days, it gets better. But the whole time you're on it, You're feeling a little bit crook.
Yes. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And I think...
So anyone who's telling me that they're feeling amazing is full of shit.
Yeah. Because actually, James Smith...
Yeah.
I was on a chat with him with a group of people and he mentioned it. And he said he was going to try it.
Yeah.
About when I started it. And he pulled out because he just had heard that if you're competing or if you're exercising at a level, it has an effect, and it will have.
Did you have energy to do anything?
Yes, no, I had energy. It wasn't like there was nothing in the tank because you are still eating, but you just don't feel right. You just don't feel right.
So you feel maybe you go to the gym or you go for a walk, but you just it's again, like you say, like you've got flu doing it.
Yeah, it is the perfect thing for somebody that wants to lose weight who doesn't want to do anything, because you just don't eat, you just don't do anything, you don't really exercise, you just
and that's probably what makes it attractive
exactly.
to people.
I think we've just solved the problem.
Yeah, it's worrying though, really, isn't it?
I think so. I think it concerns me in that the people I did tell, and I won't say any names, guys, don't worry. How many callbacks I got of just, would you get it? Can I get some? I want to try some. I want to try it.
Really?
Yeah. And, yeah.
It was. Let's talk about that, mate, because it was super interesting for me. I often put out through Instagram, I'm looking for someone to talk about such and such, and I didn't think I'd get anyone to talk about Ozempic.
Yeah.
Because... there's some people that you don't want to say, hey, mate.
Yeah.
Because you don't want to insult people, especially, you know, our business is to motivate people, but sometimes you sort of look at, and so my point is that it seems like a lot of people are taking this stuff, but not being honest about it.
Yeah, I mean, I wear my heart on my sleeve. I think everyone knows that. And if we are doing something good today, I hope we are, that people that are seriously thinking about it have a real think before you do it, because there are side effects. Why people aren't talking about it? Yeah, it's a bit of a social sort of... yeah, it's people won't want to say they do it because it is... I wouldn't say the word cheating, but it may be a little bit. You're sort of taking the easy way out. Everybody would love to say, no, I'm doing this through a solid exercise and things like that. It is... maybe that's why people are thinking like that. But it's definitely going to be in the open domain soon.
Yeah, it's weird.
It'll be just the new norm. I mean, you'll probably, you know, as we're saying, people might go to the gym. They may even work something out where they can get rid of the feeling of nausea. And so down the road. But, you know, it just can't be right. But then also you look at the... global obesity issues.
Yeah,
maybe you may have a health society going, hold on, this is maybe going to keep people out of our hospitals. Mm. So maybe it's a good thing.
Well, there is that side of it, unless you go back to what we were saying as to what the long-term effects are. Because the longer-term, like, what you're explaining, some of the symptoms are quite superficial.
Mm.
They would start, and there's literature that's on the internet that's saying, you know, gallbladder issues, kidney issues, stomach issues. So you're feeling the symptoms as just a little bit unwell here, maybe a little bit of indigestion, heartburn, nausea, but it's actually starts somewhere deeper down.
Oh, yeah. But, I mean, a lot of people kept smoking after they knew it was going to kill them.
Correct.
So, and we all like, well, some like a little glass of wine or a little beer every now and then. And, you know, that's not perfect for you either. I think there are people that really don't care.
Do you think they don't care, or do you think they see something, they see it differently?
Look, if someone was able to say to them, okay, take this pill, you're going to lose 15 kilos in 6 months' time, and but there's a possible chance of this, I think most people would take the pill.
It's weird, isn't it?
Yeah.
What about the impact of, you mentioned before, social media, we mentioned Elon Musk, we mentioned Oprah. How big a role do you think that plays in it?
I think it's huge. I mean, social media is, you know, I've got teenage daughters. Well, I've got two teenage daughters and one out of teenage. And it's just, their life is just so different to what our life was.
Yeah.
And I feel very sorry for them, because there's so much concern, there's so much stress, there's so much drama. And it's all social media. And, you know, it is, you know, we're going to find this out in the future. How it's affecting people. I mean, you know, I'm hearing studies from doctors saying that people are getting neck injuries from leaning over their phones all day.
Yeah.
And that's the physical side. From the mental side, you know, the effect is they're having with them. It's, you know, and when someone explained it to me once, they were saying how, you know, social media is like the old smoking. And the person said, I think it might have been on a podcast, they said, well, not really. Smoking didn't have 10,000 psychiatrists or studying how to keep people on it, because their main job is to keep them on it.
Yeah.
And that's what thousands of people are doing every day, you know, to keep you scrolling. And, and I mean, okay, studies, that, you know, they're now trying to maybe close it off to some states in the US are trying to look at that, doing that now with TikTok and different parts like that. But it's going to be a long way before.
Someone actually sent, when I asked for someone to speak to on the podcast about Ozempic, someone sent me quite an interesting sort of comedy skit about it.
Mm.
And I think it's a real double-edged sword, because they were actually making a joke from it, but someone who hadn't had exposure to Ozempic before has now got exposure to, I mean, if they've been sleeping under a rock, which a lot of people have been, they've now understood that there is a drug out there, which is a legal drug, which is available over the counter, even though you have to go to 12 different pharmacies and have it round the back.
Yeah.
You can get this thing. Yeah. So it's almost, it's everywhere.
Yeah. No, it's everywhere. It's everywhere. And, I mean, there's no way you're ever going to know the numbers. But but then the other part, which we said earlier, is that, and I haven't heard of this, but are diabetics missing out? Are diabetics not able to get this, who need it? And that is a concern too.
That was some of the dialogue in the early days. But I don't know, having done a bit of research into it, I think the drug companies are happy to produce as much as possible, and it's sold out here because recreationally people are using it.
Yeah.
But maybe some people are going without, but I think the drug, if a drug company's valued at that price and they're happy that their sales are going up, they'll just keep making more.
I mean, obesity is chronic, so I mean that is that discussion that probably needs to be had, that is this dropping the level of obesity, though? Mm. Is this... Okay, we don't know the side effects. Put that aside for the moment. If obese people that probably have an age of maybe early 50s, mid-50s, mm. is this going to allow them to live longer? Is this going to allow them to not have some of these illnesses, high blood pressure, diabetes? Is this keeping them out of hospital?
Mm. Probably not.
Okay. Well, I guess we'll see.
I mean, it might do in the short term, but mm. if you look at what I was saying before, if you mm. look at some of the side effects,
yeah, and, yeah, right.
You know, the human body is, we need food.
Yeah.
We don't need fast food all day, every day, but mm. we need food, and we've always needed food. And mm. it's more the fact that we're not eating the right food that puts us in this situation. But then yeah. if you starve it, then you cause all of these, like, it's not normal
no.
to have nausea.
No.
24/7.
No.
And just when it's going, go and get another shot so you get more nausea.
Yeah.
Like, what's that? Does that concern you, mate? I mean, eating cabbage soup for a week and farting a lot is one thing, but
yeah,
you're injecting this stuff into yourself for a certain amount of time.
Oh, yeah, no, it's not good. No, I it's not good.
You knew it at the start.
Yeah.
But do you not, like, even now when we're talking, like,
oh, yeah, no, like, it was an experiment. And yeah. As I've said, I won't continue with it, but I now know what it's like.
Mm.
And it's, and unfortunately, there probably may be people listening to it that may go, oh, I might give that a try.
Mm.
Because, you know, I'm struggling with my weight. I've tried different things. It's not working. Maybe this is what I want. And all I can say is, for those people, there are side effects to it. And long-term effects, we don't know.
You spoke about fasting.
Mm.
Let's jump to there, because that's a more self-controlled, well, it's similar to Ozempic without injecting
yeah.
the drug, because
yeah.
you're not eating. You recently did a 7-day water fast.
Yeah, yeah.
Why did you do that?
So I've got a very good neighbor, Benoit, who was explaining about it to me, and he said, oh, you should try, go for 2 days, you know, 3 days. And typical me, I said, no, let's do a week. Let's see if we yeah. can do a week. And so, yeah, it's once again, as the box says, he supplied me with natural salts, Himalayan salts, and that I would take morning and night.
Yeah.
But apart from that, I just drank liquids, which was tea, water, or black coffee. And day one was okay, because you're still obviously burning from the day before.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
I think anybody can do a day's.
Yeah.
Day two, things start to get a little bit serious. You start sort of feeling you're quite tired. Mm. Hunger pains. Well, it's all this, you know, all these glucose are eating up. So there's that. Day three is better, but still not. But from day four on, and obviously that's when the glucose are all gone, and then you're working on the fats that you're burning.
Yeah.
It's a totally different world, and you there is clarity. You do have energy. I think you have more energy. You have concentration. Day four, day five, day six, day seven was pretty incredible.
Really?
I will say, you'd go down to the kitchen and everybody eating. And yeah, hard. Okay, you're still, I wouldn't mind putting that. I wouldn't mind having a bit of that. But yeah, it was, that is something that I will continue on with. I really did, that worked for me.
Fasting with Trevor, that was the guy's Instagram name
okay.
who I had on the show who we were talking about that does dry fasting. And I've had a few different people talking about fasting on the show. I think, did you lose weight during that 7 days that you kept off? I mean, you obviously lost weight, but...
8 kilos.
In 7 days. 8 seems to be the magic number, mate. A course of Ozempic, 8 kilos off.
Well, that was 3 months, but no, it was a week. It was 8 kilos in a week.
And then what happened? Did you put it back on?
Well, I went to a conference in Geneva, and I really didn't look at a scale for that week. It didn't go all on, yeah. but I must admit, I felt really good during that week, because going to a conference is normally, you know, you're on your feet, it's all hours and things like that. Mm-hmm. But I did feel good after doing that the week before. So I think if I've got a big event or something where I'm traveling, yeah, I would do that. I would do that again.
I thought you were going to say I went to Geneva and I jumped into a pot of fondue, but cheese fondue.
No, no. Well, I finished on at 10 o'clock on March 17th on St. Paddy's Day.
Okay.
And so I had to obviously have a pint of Guinness on that. And I was a bit concerned how that would go.
But how did it go?
Down very quickly.
So you broke your fast with a pint of Guinness,
basically. No, I had chicken broth.
Right.
I had chicken broth in the morning. There's a very good broth company here in Dubai.
Yeah.
And then in the afternoon, I'd had a pint. But but of course, you don't have to go. Once again, I've gone the extreme. Seven.
Yeah.
There's intermittent fasting, which I think can work as well.
Yeah.
Which is maybe off for 18. Have a window of eating for six.
Yeah.
And people with and probably myself, which have food, you know, questionable about how much you put in. You only have a limited amount of time that you can eat.
Yeah.
That can work for some.
That can work. Well, do you think you'll find a happy medium here, Hamo? Do you think you'll?
Oh yeah, I think so. I mean, you know, I see you from time to time down on Kite Beach.
Mm.
That's my happy place. I love to be down there when the sun's coming up. There is nothing better than that. If I can, you know, I like to be consistent of trying to get down there in the mornings of either a walk or a jog. The word is consistency. All these things that I'm doing, I like to just sort of try them out and see what they go. But I do understand there is no quick fix. There is no quick fix of any of these things, any diet or anything like that. We're all old enough to realize that they don't work. There is hard yards of just getting a good, solid plan working into it.
Do you ever feel any sort of mindset backlash on any of these sort of crash protocols that you've experimented with?
Well, it's interesting. I was thinking about how you can run for like a week in the desert, and you know, I struggle with that in my mindset. How you could possibly, you know, you just keep going, but yet I'm able to just turn off the food for a week. I don't know. People work in different ways. I mean, how do you? What's going on in your head after 6 days of running through a desert?
Purpose. If there's a purpose, you can run. It's similar to the human mind works in similar ways because we're wired the same, and it's the same. If you and I ate burgers for too long, we'd put on weight because we're human beings. Mm. You know, so it works. You had a purpose. You wanted to experiment with the cabbage soup, and you were going to do that for a week. If I'd have asked you to do one extra day at the end of the week, you'd have told me where to go.
Mm.
But if we'd have said at the start of the week, actually, it's not a week, it's 8 days, you'd be like, yeah, I can do that.
Yeah.
Because there's purpose.
True.
So when there's purpose, we can find the motivation. How we get that purpose is important.
Yeah.
But we also get sometimes, I mean, I get it with like what you said, like sometimes I think about what I'm getting from being out in the desert for 7 days and my mind wants to go back there because of the positives that it brings.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm trying to figure out. Like you went through a course or a time on Ozempic. Is the mind not going back and saying, knock, knock.
No.
Do that again.
No.
Do that. You can, you know, that little.
No, not at all. For Ozempic, definitely not. Definitely not. That was an experiment that we can tick the box and move on.
Really?
I would, for the fasting, Yeah. I would like to fast and go straight to day five.
That's the biggest thing about fasting, isn't it? You have to go through those first two or 3 days.
And other things that were really strange, like I woke up one morning and the room smelt metallic.
Yes.
And you know, it was somebody just said, "Yeah, that's stuff coming out of your body."
Yeah.
And then on the last day, I did a liver cleanse, right. which is olive oil with some grapefruit juice. But before that, you have Epsom salts.
Epsom salts, yeah.
Now that was, I'm not going to go into any detail on this.
Yeah.
But that was amazing.
Yeah.
Because the point was, I hadn't eaten for 7 days. There was nothing left, I thought.
Yeah.
I did that course. The next morning, some things left me.
Yeah.
I don't know where they came from.
Fasting, a lot of fasting is quite, for some people, it's quite spiritual. I mean, we're recording this show in the middle of the holy month of Ramadan. We've also just finished in the Christian calendar the month of Lent, which is a time of fasting. Did you feel any sort of sense of spirituality with Ozempic?
Oh, no. No, I thought you were going to go to that. No,
the spirituality. I was going to go to fasting, mate, but I thought I'd start with Ozempic. I mean,
it's just, you know, just even thinking about the Ozempic now, you know, going to the pharmacy, getting the injection.
Filthy.
You know, yeah. Leave the car running.
Awful.
Don't tell anybody. Yeah, no. You know, because, you know, everyone's keeping quiet about it. What's the stuff? Yeah, no, it's, but on the other hand, exactly. When I told some of my Muslim friends or Hindu friends of what I was doing, everybody was fasting. Yes, this has been part of our life forever.
Yeah. So did you feel a spiritual connection in your fasting?
I did.
It
does feel different. Mm. It really, there's different parts for it. I mean, you can see why people have done it or built into their calendar for thousands of years.
I've not done a prolonged fast, but I understand from the people that I've spoken to that, like you said, day 5, 6, and 7, when things are leaving your body, it feels like it's more than just waste of food left over. It feels like other things are leaving from you.
Yeah. Yeah. And you sort of get to a stage where you go, you know, I mean, honestly, on the 7th day, you talk about the 8th day. If you said to me, James, you're going to have to do another day on the fast. I'd be able to do that.
You would, yeah.
The cabbage soup diet, not so much.
Not so much.
It was very different. And it seemed very natural. I would definitely endorse that one.
What does it look like then, mate, for the coming few years? You're in touch with your health. You understand that you love food, but you understand that eating a lot of food is not great. You've tried a few different protocols. I think you also understand that we need to find a level playing field.
Yep.
We don't. It's not going to be good for Hamo's life expectancy to keep going up and down.
No, exactly.
Do you think to try and find something that's like, yeah, that'll make me healthier, that'll make my life better?
Very much so. I mean, I turned 50 last year, and as someone said to me, there's not many fat 80-year-olds walking around.
Nice.
I've got to take it on board that, you know, you've got to build it into your calendar. Get out of bed. We live in the best place in the world, as you know. So there is absolutely no excuse why I'm a 5-minute drive to the beach. I love my podcasts, particularly yours.
Thank you.
And so I'm always listening to my podcast, and probably everybody, you know, sees me walk past them and probably miss or don't say hi, but that's because I just love that time. And so we've got no excuse here. We've got it all here. We have fantastic places to eat from every culture in the world. You know, I go to other places when it's winter, and that's a reason why I don't want to go outside. Here it's always good. So to answer your question, there is no excuse. We live in the best place in the world. The weather's good. We can find the right food. There's plenty of choice around. And, yeah, not getting any younger.
I hope you don't experiment with the Zempic again, mate. And I appreciate you coming and talking so openly about it. I think it's very important for people to hear. And I don't think there's many people that will speak about it the way that you have.
Well, yeah, I mean, look, I've tried it and I don't think it's a good thing. And when you reached out, I wanted to say, not because, look, I've tried it. I wanted to tell people what I got out of it.
Yeah.
So, and look, if anybody wants to reach out to me, you know, directly, I'd be happy to give them some more information of what it is. But it seems easy, seems a simple way out, but I can assure you it's not the best way.
Amazing. Before we started recording, you promised me that you're bringing back your own podcast.
Yes.
The Captain's Table.
Yeah.
Which we scheduled to have a chat on a few times, but 8 o'clock in a pub in JLT doesn't really fit in with my schedule, mate. But can we expect to see that coming back online soon?
Yes, great news. Rex Neat, who migrated back to the UK, we've been in communicato, and it's coming back probably in the next month or so.
Very good.
And yeah, we're very excited because it's I love chatting.
Yeah.
As I think you know.
Yeah.
And you learn a lot from it, and you learn a lot about people from doing it. So to answer your question, yep, Captain's Table is coming back, and we'll get you on. And don't worry, it won't be a pub. We'll find...
we can do it here if you want, mate.
Well, yeah, we'll find some nice, quiet place where no Ozempic is around, and everyone will be happy. I don't think Ozempic's going to sponsor it. They asked to sponsor it.
He said no. You can't. I was actually just thinking that because, you, like you said at the start, you've got captain's shirts in Times Square and you've got it in Right Market. So hopefully no one comes up to you with any aggression, mate, the way that we've spoken about Ozempic.
Look, I'm all about honesty, and honesty's the best policy. I think we know that.
Ammo, I appreciate your time, mate. Appreciate your openness. Folks, if you're thinking about Ozempic, take a breath, think again, listen to, I think 70% of this show has been negative about it,
yeah,
which I think is right. I don't think, anyway, and maybe try the 7-day fast.
Yeah.
That seems to...
You're going to get better results, and I assure you, you're going to feel amazing.
We could have you as an advocate for an ambassador for fasting now, mate. We'll see where it goes.
Absolutely.
Thanks a lot, mate. Appreciate it.
My pleasure.